Good evening. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, the Home Minister Amit Shah tells Parliament today that the centre regrets the death of 14 civilians in a counterinsurgency operation of the army in Nagaland, which went horribly wrong on Saturday. This on a day when the 14 men who were killed in that botched encounter were buried in Nagaland in the Mon district. As the investigation gets underway, both at the level of the army and the police, here is the big question. Will these men be safe from prosecution by the Armed Forces Special Protection Act that gives them immunity during operations in certain areas, including this one? Or will the centre waive AFSPA, as it's known, to ensure that a civil trial can happen? For now, these soldiers have been charged with murder and attempt to murder by the police. Will these charges stick? Two days after a horrific botched encounter by one of the army's most elite special forces units, these cremations of 14 innocent civilians in Nagaland's Mon district.
Turn back.
Today across parts of the state, a great deal of tension, with people stepping out onto the roads to physically stop the movement of army convoys. In Parliament, the Home Minister deplored the army action but fell short of announcing any waiver of the Armed Forces Special Powers Act, which grants soldiers involved in this ambush immunity from prosecution. Dissatisfied with his reaction, the opposition walked out.
Bharat Sarkar Nagaland mein hue is durbhagyapurna ghatna par atyant khed vyakt karti hai aur mrutakon ke parivaron ke prati gehri samvedna vyakt karti hai.
In Nagaland, multiple calls from civil society leaders and even the chief minister to put an end to the act so that the army soldiers can be tried for murder.
Home Minister se baat kiya, wo un log ka bahut serious hai le raha hai. Un log ko is case ka 11 lakhs diya aur bhi 5 lakh diya aur injuries ko 50,000 diya. Hum log bhi hamesha government of India se poochta hai ki ye remove karo. Kis liye hum Hindustan hai, biggest democratic country in the world. And this is a draconian law.
A demand echoed by other BJP allies in the Northeast.
In the last many years that the Armed Forces Special Power Act has been there, it has only been counterproductive and there has been more unrest.
The BJP state unit in Nagaland has strongly issued a strongly worded letter calling the killings genocide. Army sources tell NDTV that 13 soldiers who were involved in the botched ambush on Saturday were later attacked by villagers wielding machetes. One soldier was killed on the spot, 13 had injuries, 3 are serious. Army sources say they were not trying to dispose of the bodies as alleged in this preliminary inquiry report by the Nagaland government. The army inquiry is being headed by a major general, while a police investigation is being headed by a special investigating team. Though so far, the police team has not asked the army for permission to question the special forces officers. Serious questions are now being asked on how the army should conduct its operations. Will the charges of murder stick since soldiers preemptively open fire on unarmed villagers, or will they be protected by the Special Powers Act? How will the delicate peace process in Nagaland be impacted by this operation that went so dreadfully wrong? With Ratnadeep Chaudhary, Vishnu Shom for NDTV. Well, we've got a great panel today. We've got Gaurav Gogoi, the Lok Sabha MP of the Congress Party, Patricia Mukhim, the editor of the Shillong Times, and R.S. Pandey, the former Chief Secretary of Nagaland. Thank you all very much for being with us. Gaurav, do you share the sentiment of many on the ground that this was cold-blooded murder, or do you believe that these were soldiers in an operation which went dreadfully wrong and therefore it wasn't murder per se?
Well, Vishnu, I have tremendous respect for the Indian Army. And it deeply saddens me that on the basis of a wrong intelligence input, close to 15 civilians are now dead. And initially on December 4th, on Saturday, close to 7 civilians were shot dead. Now, the life of a person in Nagaland is no different from the life of a person in Delhi. And if we would hold the army accountable for a botched up operation on the streets of Delhi, where 13 to 14 unarmed Indian Delhiites are killed, then the same standard should apply to those officers who are behind this botched up operation. The army itself have expressed regret. The Union Home Minister have expressed regret. And I hope that, you know, today the Indian Armed Forces will hold itself accountable. The Union Government will hold itself accountable. And we will have some form of justice, because only justice can rebuild the trust between the people of the Northeast and the government of India, between the people of the Northeast and the Indian Armed Forces. So I hope and I pray that justice is given. And I'm quite disappointed today, Vishnu, on a slightly different note, that the Union Home Minister did not announce any form of compensation for the Nagaland civilians, for the Indian civilians who have died in the conflict so far.
Okay. Patricia, do you believe that in his statement in Parliament today, the Home Minister should have said that the Armed Forces Special Powers Act, which gives these soldiers immunity, should be waived for the prosecution or the investigation of this incident to take place?
He should have done that, actually, because, you know, we've seen how people have gone to court on this act. The Naga Human Rights Council had gone to court, and the Supreme Court had said that, of course, we have to look into every case where there is excessive use of power by the uniformed personnel. But it ends there. And then again, you know, today, now that we have these 15 killings, we are all up in arms in the Northeast. This act, incidentally, is applied only in the Northeast and in Jammu and Kashmir. One can understand that in Jammu and Kashmir, because you have, you have Pakistan there, which is always trying to intrude into Indian spaces, perhaps you need that act. But why in the Northeast? Why continue to keep the army here and then use the AFSPA when killings have reduced considerably? If you have the army, you will always have these extrajudicial killings, because the army is trained to kill the enemy. And deploying the army here means that you consider those people where AFSPA is invoked as the enemy. In fact, at one time, General V.K. Singh had said, when he was asked if he was going to deploy the army in the left-wing extremist areas, he said, no, the army will not be used to fight its own people. So why is the army being used in the Northeast and in Jammu and Kashmir?
Right.
That's the question.
Mr. Pandey, how badly will this incident affect the very tentative, very tenuous peace process in Nagaland?
Well, this has been most colossal blunder, particularly when we are keeping fingers crossed about positive outcome of the peace process. Now it is abundantly clear that all the Naga people who have lost their life, not one is insurgent or connected to insurgents in a nefarious way. Now, killing so many people, even on the basis of some intelligence, which ultimately proved to be wrong, is absolutely unacceptable. And particularly given the situation in the Northeast, I have been Deputy Commissioner of Mon District, where this incident, unfortunate thing, has happened for 5 years during 1885. Those days, insurgency was in very, very virulent form. And I don't recall a single incident of this nature having taken place. Yeah. Now, we all see how people's feelings have been roughed up. Now it is spreading to whole of Nagaland, not only Nagaland, neighboring states, even across the border, Naga areas. And I think today what we need is, with all seriousness, it has to be taken up. Honorable Home Minister has very rightly said that it is tragic. We are very sad about it. But I think a very good compensation should have been announced by the central government as well, in addition to what the state government has done.
I think going beyond, going beyond compensation, one needs to look at the larger issue. Gaurav, do you believe it's time to repeal the Armed Forces Special Powers Act?
Well, Vishnu, if in this particular case they choose not to invoke the Armed Forces Special Powers Act and they have a thorough, fair and unbiased investigation, and they hold the Indian Army to the same standards that would apply to any part of India if where an innocent civilian is being killed, then I think it would send a very strong message. Right now, the focus is that the people of Nagaland, they are partners in peace. They are partners in the political dialogue that the government of India is having with the Naga underground as well as with the civil society. So at right now, first and foremost, we need to have a speedy, fair trial. If it can be done by under the auspices of the Indian Army, I would welcome that. And if not, they should look at options of having a sitting judiciary, member of the judiciary go through this trial. Because right now, this is a very sensitive time, Vishnu. This entire situation in the Northeast can be exploited by nefarious interests, by vested interests across the border as well. And this is not what the people of Northeast want.
I'm asking you, Gaurav, do you believe it needs to be repealed, not in the Northeast or other parts of India, not just in connection with this case, but do you believe it needs to be repealed?
Can I come Gaurav, on, Vishnu?
Just one second,
Vishnu,
Gaurav, go ahead.
As of now, I want to focus on this issue. I want to focus on this issue. I don't want, you know, I want the killings to be investigated. I want a thorough investigation. You know, itself would take time because on what basis were these intelligence inputs given? What was the standard protocol? Why was the police not taken? And I think this case can be the benchmark, can be a stepping stone to the eventual, relook at AFSPA. But right now, I think it's very necessary for the government to take the first step.
Patricia, the point that is mentioned by many in the armed forces is that they cannot fight insurgency or militancy in any part of the country, the Northeast or in Kashmir, with their hands effectively tied behind their back. They need some sort of immunity. Now, this has obviously been misused, as we know. It's been brought up in courts as well. But some would suggest that AFSPA is required. How would you respond to those who say that it is?
No, I don't think a colonial law dating back to 1942, which was used to curb the Quit India movement, needs to be applied in this day and age. I think why is it that the Indian nation cannot come up with a counter-insurgency force without using the army? Because using the army means, you know, excessive force. It just happens. And we have seen the Supreme Court directing the CBI to go into these cases of excesses, and then the CBI coming proper. So, you know, we are just repeating things again and again. And I just want to make this one point. It's important also to analyze the peace talks objectively. We are all too much focused on the NSC and IM without taking stock of the situation in Nagaland.
Sure.
Now, in the last 2 years, several memoranda had been sent to the Prime Minister and the Home Minister by the Nagaland Gaumbura Association, the apex body of the Nagas, which includes all the 14 tribes. Now, they have said that we are so tired of this gun culture. Whatever has been agreed to by the group in the talks, let it be resolved. And the rest that lies unresolved, let it be resolved by peaceful means.
Sure.
All the national political groups have accepted this, except
the NSC and IM. Right, so lots of key points that you mentioned, Patricia. I'm just interrupting you now, and I'd like to thank all of you for joining us, because we are also joined at this stage by Conrad Sangma, the Chief Minister of Meghalaya. Mr. Sangma, thanks very much for being with us. Do you believe that, at least in this case, the Armed Forces Special Powers Act should be waived so that the police prosecution or investigation, which has been announced, can go ahead in the truest form to ensure that there is some sort of justice?
Yes, number one, we have always maintained that the Armed Forces Special Power Act is something that shouldn't be there in today's world. The kind of situation, the kind of society we have. So therefore, not just in this situation, but in any situation, we have always maintained our stand that the Armed Forces Special Power Act should never be there.
And sir, do you believe murder charges are fit in a case like this, where there was an obvious mistake which took place?
Well, that's for the law to decide. It's not something that I can really comment on. Of course, One can look at it from the other point of view, saying that they were moving based on certain orders given. So what were those circumstances? How did they reach to that? It'll be wrong for me to comment that what kind of action should be taken. I'm only looking at the overall scenario from a policy point of view. And I've always maintained that the Armed Forces Special Power Act has always been counterproductive, and it's not really served the purpose that it's meant to. So the important part is there should be a proper investigation. That's important.
All right, Mr. Sangma, thanks very much for being with us. Well, earlier on today, I spoke to Justice Madan Lokur, the retired Supreme Court judge, one of the finest legal minds in the country, who had in the past also been the judge when the Manipur fake encounter case was looked at. He has a nuanced understanding of the Armed Forces Special Powers Act. His views very, very important indeed in this particular case. Sir, a part of the Armed Forces Special Powers Act says that in operations like this, there is blanket immunity. In a situation like that, what challenges does that pose to the process of justice, which is basic for everyone in our country?
Yes, thank you, Vishnu, for inviting me for this discussion. You see, under the Armed Forces Special Powers Act, although wide powers have been given to the armed forces, it does not mean, you know, that they can go around just killing anybody, right? There has to be a reason why, you know, some action is to be taken under the law. But just because you have the power to enter somebody's home, right, you just can't enter and, you know, say, well, I'm entering because I want to enter.
Right.
So to that extent, you know, the application of the law is extremely defective in the sense that it gives complete power and, you know, people can do whatever they want with impunity.
Justice Lokur, I'm just trying to understand, where does the word murder get applicable, or where does the word attempt to murder get applicable in a situation like this? And I'll tell you why, sir. In a situation like this, an ambush has been laid, but the army unit has not come under fire. There is no contention or statement that they have. In other words, they have not retaliated. They have proactively engaged a target. So therefore, can the word or the allegation of murder be used despite the immunity that they enjoy?
Yes, it can be. You see, one of the situations that arose in the case that was decided by the Supreme Court with regard to extrajudicial killings in Manipur, right, where the allegation was that over a period of time, more than 1,500 people were killed on the ground that they were insurgents and so on. Now, the view taken was that, you know, on behalf of the armed forces, was that we were retaliating in self-defense. Mm-hmm. And what do you expect us to do? Mm-hmm. Okay. But that is a matter that has to be investigated. Okay. Now, here, it seems to be quite clear in this particular case that the persons who were killed were unarmed. In fact, even after the incident took place, the vehicle was searched and they found nothing over there. And as you said, it was not retaliatory. You know, the armed forces proactively did whatever, you know, they did. So it would certainly qualify as, you know, an intention to kill. Perhaps, I mean, depending upon the investigation, it could perhaps be called intention to kill.
Justice Lokur, how does the police investigate this case if they do not have access right away, off the bat, to those involved in this operation?
I don't know how they are going to investigate. You know, actually, I believe that in a situation like this, you know, where the armed forces are involved and completely innocent civilians are involved against whom there's absolutely no allegation, no information, nothing at all, I think there should be an independent investigation done by people, you know, by eminent people. They should be the ones to investigate, because there are, you know, sufficient chances if I may use that expression, there are sufficient chances for the armed forces to try and cover up the incident, you know.
Yeah.
And there does appear to be some information that, you know, after the incident was, after the killings took place, they tried to hide the bodies, you know. So that being the situation, I think there should be a completely independent probe of eminent citizens.
Justice Lokur, when you were looking into the Manipur fake encounter case, you asked the CBI, you know, why were custodial interrogations of the men in the armed forces who have been charged with murder, why has that not taken place? But then again, sir, on that occasion, there was AFSPA, right? So on what basis did you raise this point in that case, sir?
Well, because it appeared that, you know, these were not, acts which were done in self-defense, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, they were proactive. That was the prima facie view, but then that was a matter that had to be investigated. And there were orders that had been passed, you know, in some inquiries, including one conducted by former Supreme Court Judge Justice Santosh Hegde, to say that, you know, these encounters were fake. Mm. Now, if they are fake encounters, well, it would amount to murder, right? So that's why the investigation. Similarly here, because, you know, it was not in self-defense, so to speak, but proactive action taken by the armed forces, it could amount to murder. Again, you know, depending upon the investigations and whatever the facts are revealed eventually.
Justice Lokur, another point that comes up, in fact, it did in this particular case on the Manipur situation, is when a viewpoint was raised in court to you by the defense, who said that the morale of the armed forces was being affected in the manner in which that particular case was being heard in court, to which I believe you said that the armed forces are strong enough to deal with issues surrounding morale. In this particular case as well, the entire morale argument has been raised, that don't destroy or harm the morale of our army or of that unit. Do you believe that this argument at all needs to be raised?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, if somebody goes and kills somebody in cold blood, right, and says that, well, you know, my morale is going to be affected, or the morale of my men is going to be affected, it doesn't make any sense. Right. So from the facts that are available, of course, this is just tentative in the sense that we don't know the full facts. And as you have said, the facts appear to be that these people were going in a truck, and there may have been an intelligence report or something, but the armed forces opened fire and killed six of them, and two were critically injured.
Yeah.
Right. Where does the question of morale come in?
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, I don't see the question of morale coming in anywhere.
Yeah. So, sir, one final question. Now, in Parliament, the Home Minister, Mr. Amit Shah, did not make any remark on AFSPA being waived in this case, the Armed Forces Special Powers Act being waived to allow full police questioning and prosecution. Is that something that disappoints you? Because at the very least, it would mean that the process of seeking justice has to go through that entire process where the police make an appeal to the army that we want to question these men. The army then has to speak to the defense ministry, that then needs to go to the home ministry. That needs then to be examined in a situation where time is of essence. Would you have liked to have heard Mr. Amit Shah saying that we are willing to waive AFSPA as per the requirement in this case?
Yes, certainly, certainly. And in fact, like I said, you know, I would go a little beyond that and say that there should be, you know, an investigation by eminent citizens. You know, I mean, if necessary, the police can involve them, or maybe eminent citizens can be asked or requested, you know, to conduct an independent investigation. because there are going to be problems, you know, one way or the other. And let's come out with what is the truth. You know, I mean, what's the harm, you know?
Yeah.
We should know the truth.
Yeah. Well, sir, it's always very interesting speaking to you and getting your views on this very, very sensitive situation. It's very sad that there is so much tension now. In Nagaland, and the death of these innocent civilians, it's just shocking. It's something that all of us need to reflect on. But thank you so much for sharing your perspective.
Thank you so much indeed. Thank you.
Well, there are lots of opinions on coup, as you would expect. Shreya Singh writes in. She says, it is very simple to say mistaken identity by our army, but what about the families of the civilians who've lost lives? Rajesh says, this is an offense by the Indian Army, so there should not be absolute immunity. So just a couple of views, a handful of views over there, out of time on this program from all of us here. Goodbye.